AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, now finally Irish friendly. Now, I'm sure you all picked up on this. That is the underlying Irish discrimination that our show relied on from day one. But we have been asked to cut this out, and to make amends for it, for these past transgressions, we bring you a leprechaun episode. Hooray! Stereotypes.
Hooray! Wait.
Yeah, it was in the mission statement, wasn't it? From day one.
Yeah, it was. You could go read it. I assume everybody is already read up on it, because that's why we write those nice episode notes each week as well, because everybody's reading all the episode notes in our mission statement.
Yeah.
All the time.
Okay, anyhow, I'll let you take over, because it is a Chelsea episode.
Where the episode should start. Today, in celebration of St. Patrick's Day, and also what Taylor just said, we're diving into the fringy world of leprechauns. Why do we pronounce it leprechaun and not leprechaun?
It should be leprechaun, actually. I've read a book to children in my life about leprechauns, and it comes from the word looper Sean or something like that. And oh, yeah. It's literally just a bastardization. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those bastards. Those bastard English speakers. It's not like German. I wonder how German pronounces it. Anyhow, we have a whole episode to talk about, so enough of
the pure way.
These mischievous little bastards, I presume, are a beloved part.
Was it them? Did they do it?
It might have been. It fucking might have been them. Probably was. Just add that into a bullet point about them at this point.
Yeah.
They're a beloved part of Irish folklore. But there's much more to them than little green outfits, pots of gold, and delicious marshmallow bits sprinkled throughout an otherwise shitty cereal. Grab your shamrocks and get ready for a journey through the history and mystery of leprechauns.
Leprechauns.
Most of us picture a leprechaun as a tiny bearded man dressed in his little green cute outfit with a red beard and a hat. They're often seen as cobblers. I don't know if you picture that when you picture a leprechaun.
I do, but that's because the book
told me. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? And they're making shoes, and they're known for their love of gold, which they hide at the end of rainbows. And they're known for enjoying a good practical joke, such as, you know, how we pronounce leprechaun. And their mischievous nature and elusive behavior make them a fascinating subject of folklore. But where did these magical beings come from? Let's take a look into the original sightings and history of the leprechaun. As Taylor alluded to, or just said, but I have more information on that I forgot that I had here. Leprechaun comes from the Middle Irish word? Middle Irish?
Yeah, kind of like Middle English. Because there'd be Old Irish, Middle Irish, Modern Irish.
What's Middle English?
Middle English is like the 1600s.
Why did they speak differently then?
It's because language evolves. But weirdly, like, usually middle is where the printing press was invented. So the words written are written how they'd be pronounced in the Middle English style, but we've evolved the language, and that's why we end up with silent letters and things that don't sound the way they're supposed to.
Uh-huh, okay. And that's why today we say things like skibbity and Ohio. Yeah,
but like, yeah. I listened to somebody reading a common prayer in Middle English, and like, the word knight
why
is
are you
pronounced
listening
Knigget.
To that?
It was on YouTube.
Are you serious?
It just came up, yeah. It was pronounced Knigget, which I was like,
it
wow.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Was it actually?
Uh-huh. And that's like, that word makes so much more sense now.
It's just fucking ridiculous. Okay, we gotta move on.
Yeah.
Leprechaun comes from the Middle Irish word luchurpan or lupercan, meaning small body. Leprechauns are considered a type of solitary fairy in Irish folklore, and they are known for their secretive and elusive nature, often leading people on wild goose chases in search of their hidden treasure. Maybe there isn't a hidden treasure. Maybe that's the practical joke.
That actually probably is their ultimate practical joke.
Yeah. One of the earliest known references to leprechauns appears in the medieval tale Ectra Fergus Mac Leighty, where King Fergus Mac Leighty encounters three leprechauns. The story goes that Fergus Mac Leighty, King of Ulster, falls asleep on the beach and wakes to find himself being dragged into the sea by three Lutrur Pain. He captures his abductors, who grant him three wishes in exchange for release, which kind of reminds me of the genie. Over time, these creatures became more ingrained in Irish culture and storytelling. In McNally's 1888 account, the leprechaun was not, in fact, a professional cobbler, but was are they professionals?
Yeah.
I would have thought that they were just amateurs, but I don't know where that logic came from. But I guess that's neither here nor there. But was frequently seen mending his own shoes, as he runs about so much he wears them out with great frequency. This is, he claims, the perfect opportunity for a human being to capture the leprechaun, refusing to release him until the leprechaun gives his captor supernatural wealth. The leprechaun has been classed as a solitary fairy, like I already said, by the writer, and an amateur folklorist, William Butler Yeats, and Yeats was part of a revivalist literary movement greatly influential in calling attention to the leprechaun in the late 19th century. It is stressed that the leprechaun, though some may call it fairy, is clearly to be distinguished from the Ossi, or the good people of Gaelic folklore, similar to elves of the fairy mounds, Sidhe and Ras. The leprechaun being solitary is one distinguishing characteristic, but additionally, the leprechaun is thought to only engage in pranks on the level of mischief.
Yeah, people don't die. Basically. I think they can be maimed, but not killed.
But I was just going to say, like, what about accidental death? Would that also be considered mischief?
That's actually a great question with that, if they didn't intend the person to die.
I feel like it's still mischief, and I'm sure they would classify it as that. As
well. Yeah.
Requiring special caution, but in contrast, the Aussie may carry out deeds more menacing to humans. As we move through history, the image of the leprechaun evolves, just like Middle English. Originally depicted in red clothing, according to Yeats, the solitary fairies wore red jackets, whereas the trooping fairies wore green. Yeats's leprechaun wore a jacket with seven rows of buttons, with seven buttons to each row. Yeats described that on the western coast, the red jacket is covered by a frieze one. What is this? Oh, a frieze is like a long hooded jacket.
Like F-R-I-E-S-E?
Yeah, F-R-I-E-Z-E. It looks like a priest outfit. Whereas in Ulster, the creature wears a cocked hat, and when he is up to anything unusually mischievous, he leaps onto a wall and spins, balancing himself on the point on the hat with his heels in the air. According to McNally, the universal leprechaun is described as follows.
Okay.
He's about
he was like a monk. High.
Yeah. Hmm. Monks come from Ireland too, don't they? No, I'm thinking about a druid. It could be druid.
It could be a druid.
I only know that because of DuckTales. Or is that Scotland?
That is Scotland, but they did have druids.
Scrooge is
he's Scottish.
Scottish, right? Okay.
Yeah.
According to McNally, the universal leprechaun is described as follows. He's about 3 feet high and is dressed in a little red jacket or roundabout with red breeches buckled at the knee, gray or black stockings, and a hat cocked in the style of a century ago over a little old withered vase. Round his neck is an Elizabethan ruff, and frills of lace are on its wrists. On the wild west coast, where an Atlantic wind bring almost constant rains, he dispenses with ruff and frills and wears a frieze overcoat over his pretty red suit, so that unless on the lookout for the cocked hat, ye might pass a leprechaun on the road and never know it's himself that's in at all. This is a lot of focus on what they're wearing, and the outfits seem rather elaborate.
And that is, when I picture a leprechaun, it is a fairly elaborate getup. Like, I'm not going out really in a three-piece suit that is color-coordinated every single day.
Like, you don't want to do up that many buttons and buckles and stuff.
No, did he not describe them having, like, 49 buttons on their jacket? Yes. 7 rows by 7?
You gotta think most of them are just gonna be for show.
But yeah.
I hope.
Can you imagine having to do 49 buttons up every time you put a shirt on? I'm not choosing that shirt.
You'd never
after
know.
I like really got talked into it and by the salesman.
If you had no other choice, you're not changing ever.
No.
You gotta wear a bib or something if you're eating, just in case, because you're not taking either that or they're filthy, just covered in dirt.
Actually, Chelsea, yeah. I am curious. Does anybody ever describe how they smell? Because I'm wondering if they do actually have another suit that they wear, or if they do ever take that one off.
I don't think they do. Because, you know, they only have the one outfit that's so elaborate. Gotta think, if they wore anything else, it'd be spotted in something else, right?
Yeah. But
so it's universal.
No, but I guess we can
they're
stop there.
They're all wearing the same thing.
No, but Chelsea,
yeah.
If you saw something that was that size and it wasn't wearing a green suit, you wouldn't say you saw a leprechaun not in a green suit. You might say you saw a gnome or another entity. So we don't actually know for sure, do we?
No, but I feel like nobody focuses as much on what the other little guys are wearing.
Mm-mm.
Like, how long have I been talking about the elaborate outfits?
No, and even, like, we've all seen, like, garden
maybe
gnomes.
They're known for it.
I couldn't even describe to you what the clothes are they're wearing at all, in any way. Other than that, like, red dunce cap that they wear.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going for best dressed. Scary.
Maybe. But again, is it that we don't see them? Nobody's seen a leprechaun without a green suit? Or is it we see them, but we don't think they're leprechauns because they're not wearing green suits?
I think at this point, it's hard to say.
No. That'd be a good study to do, though, hey?
No, it really would be. But how many people... Okay, we'll talk about...
Yeah, we'll keep going and maybe he'll come up.
Let's keep going. This description varied by region, but let's take a look at not only how the description varied between regions, but also how to vary from what we envision your standard leprechaun as being today. So, more about how they dress, because you thought that wasn't enough. The northern leprechauns, or loggery men, wore a military red coat and white breeches with a broad-brimmed pointed hat on which he would sometimes stand upside down. I guess this is a summary of everything I just said. The Lurigaddon of Tipperary wore an antique slash jacket of red with peaks all around and a jockey cap, also sporting a sword which he uses as a magic wand. I don't know that I would trust that. And why is he wearing a fucking jockey cap? Why?
Oh, yeah. And especially like jockeys are known as little people too. Is that why the jockeys adopted that?
Are jockeys? Leprechauns.
Wait, did the Simpsons not predict this?
Did anyone ever think of this?
They had to at some point. They had to.
Maybe it's because they're not wearing the outlandish outfit, and so it threw them off.
I'm pretty sure there's that one episode of Simpsons where they get the horse.
Is there?
And all the jockeys are like magical creatures.
Yeah.
I think they're leprechauns, but they might not be. They might be elves.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they are. But Simpsons knew them. It's just the dress. We didn't ever associate them with being a leprechaun because they weren't wearing the leg.
We're learning so much. Yeah. But they kind of were. They just spread rumors that they only wear green.
This is crazy. Okay. Lurigaddon of Kerry was a fat, pursy little fellow whose jolly round face rivals in redness the cutaway jacket he wears that always has 7 rows of 7 buttons in each row.
What is pursy?
Well, I thought it was like, you know, pursed lips. Maybe it means a sour face.
Just his face is all pursed.
Yeah.
This guy is not an attractive little fellow.
No. I'm glad you were picturing a not attractive fellow, too. The Clericon of Monaghan wore a swallow-tailed evening coat of red with green vest, white breeches, black stockings, shiny shoes, and a long cone hat without a brim, sometimes used as a weapon.
The hat?
Yep.
Huh. Good for them. They have very functional hats.
Yeah, like, not only
one
that.
One of them's got a jockey hat.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah.
One's got one you can balance on, and one's got a weapon.
One's got a sword that he says is a magic wand. The modern image of the leprechaun sitting on a toadstool having a red beard and a green hat is a more modern invention, or borrowed from other strands of European folklore. The most likely explanation for the modern-day leprechaun appearance is that green is traditionally a national Irish color, dating back as far as 1642. The hat might be derived from the old style of outdated fashion still common in Ireland in the 19th century. This style of fashion was commonly worn by Irish immigrants to the United States. Since some Elizabethan era clothes were still common in Ireland in the 19th century, long after they were out of fashion, as depicted by the stage Irish.
Hmm.
Also known as drunk Irish. Or paddy whackery.
Man, just so many terms are actually just like Irish slander, I think is a good way to put it. Like the paddy wagon is just like such a racially charged word. Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. The buckled shoes and other garments also have their origin in the Elizabethan period in Ireland. The tales grew richer and more colorful, with each generation adding their own twist to the legend. It's no wonder that these stories captured the hearts and minds of the Irish people, and as time went on, leprechauns had become synonymous with luck and fortune, as well as St. Patrick's Day. The belief was that if you could catch one, you'd be rewarded with a pot of gold. Some places say three wishes. I know it is.
Yeah,
a pot
I've
of
weirdly
gold.
Seen it interchangeable. And the wishes are always like super wording dependent. Like they're playing the practical jokes through their wishes.
Yeah. I think that's also a djinn thing, which is kind of weird. A couple djinn things have already come up where they grant a wish, but it's like secretly evil and it's like the dark side of the wish.
Yeah.
But leprechauns aren't just confined to ancient folklore. In recent years, there have been numerous sightings and stories on platforms like Reddit. Let's take a look at some of these. Yeah.
Are we going to cover that really big one on YouTube where the news story covered it? Okay.
Can you stop jumping ahead and ruining everything? Okay. Ruining the episode? Damn it. Are you a leprechaun?
Who's to say?
First up is a mass sighting of a leprechaun. Creighton, the leprechaun. Now, I'm not sure how to say this. I want to say Creighton, but it could be Crichton.
Crichton, yeah. Likely
and
Crichton.
I'm not going to describe this to you at all. No, I'm going to let this news report do all the explaining in general, if I can get in there.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun is taking up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We don't get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be
is
afraid.
Is that the army?
Man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky.
I'm sorry, Chelsea, can we pause it for a second? And just, this might sound incredibly racist, but this is a very black part of Alabama, and this guy is saying that his family passed down for a thousand generations something to protect them from leprechauns. I don't think they did.
They probably didn't. Can I unpause it?
Yeah, you can go.
Under this tree.
I'm gonna run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I wanna know where to go. I want to go. Give me the go. I want to go.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing out
who
there.
Who did that? I want to know who sketched that.
I don't know. Maybe Brian sketched
it. Dude, I like how they said they showed up with camera phones. Like, yeah. They would never say that now.
Yeah, no, you just show up with phones.
Camera phones. Yeah, now you just show up with phones. Everybody knows it has a camera. One particularly famous sighting occurred in 1989 when a group of tourists claimed to have seen a leprechaun dancing on a rock near the village of Carlingford. They described him as wearing a green coat and a hat that looked suspiciously like it had been borrowed from a gnome convention. The tourists were so convinced that they even snapped a photo, though it looked more like a blurry blob than an actual leprechaun.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Just so everybody's aware, Carlingford is in Ireland, so this would be, like, its homeland.
Okay, good. Did not look that up. I just assumed. In 1900, a man named Thomas McGowan claimed he had encountered a leprechaun while out fishing near Loch Ness. Yeah, that they did.
Irish can be hard. It not in the same way that Australians hard, because Australians made up.
I'm just going to go with it. According to his account, the leprechaun offered him three wishes in exchange for his silence about their meeting. McGowan.
I mean, he didn't get the wishes.
McGowan, being the clever chap he was, wished for wealth, health, and an endless supply of whiskey. Because who wouldn't? However, he later regretted his choices when he found himself with more gold than he could carry and an insatiable thirst for whiskey that left him perpetually tipsy. Lesson learned. Be careful what you wish for when dealing with leprechauns.
And if you're gonna wish for unlimited wealth, you don't need to wish for whiskey. You can buy it.
Yes, that's true. I feel like I would go with unlimited wealth, and I'll just say in a light form. So, like, not like a light bulb. Like, don't twist my words, leprechauns. Like, in my bank account. I don't want a pot of gold. It's too heavy.
Yeah, but then, I think that's actually super easy for the leprechauns to deal with as a practical joke, is they just report you to your taxing service, whatever country you're in, the IRS, the CRA, and boom, you're in jail for probably, I don't know, money laundering of some kind.
I mean, there's a spot on the form to tick leprechaun wish, right?
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I haven't done my taxes yet for the year. So.
I've just never had to tick that box, but I've always wanted to. This is definitely not money laundering.
Here's the just box for paranormal means.
Okay, so let's get to the freaking Reddit.
You do still have to remit, though, just so we're all clear.
Yes, you absolutely have to. The leprechauns know it, too.
But they won't tell you.
Unless you wish that they tell you all the terms and conditions. And no one's going to fucking wish for that. User Martlead posted this before, but since I'm Irish and this happened in Ireland, I thought I'd share it again. There are areas here in Ireland where belief in fairies, elves, etc. is commonplace. Look up fairy rings or fairy trees. A friend of mine was in Donegal at his grandparents' holiday home years ago. He went out for a walk with his grandmother. When they were coming home, they had to cross a large field that they crossed many times before. I mean, even if they were unfamiliar with the field, that would be okay by me. They walked in the direction of the house. As they walked, they chatted, but both felt a little uneasy. They were walking and walking for longer than usual, but seemingly they were getting no closer to the house. My friend eventually said to his grandmother that he was scared, but they kept walking. In the distance, their neighbor, the farmer who owned the field, was standing at a gate calling to them and asked if they were having trouble. His grandmother shouted back that they were. He laughed and shouted, "It's fine. The wee folk are just playing with you. Take off your coats and put them on inside out." Feeling rather stupid, they did as he suggested. Then they walked directly to the house without a problem. He doesn't like to talk about it too much for fear of being ridiculed, but he swears that he was never more frightened than he was on that day. That's kind of a cool story, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
What do you think that farmer saw that prompted him to ask if they were having trouble?
It's a good question. I wonder if he's used to that in the area.
Like, do you think they were walking around in circles or just, like, walking super slow? Like, they were in, like, you know, when he slows something down?
Well, I'm wondering if they just kept, like, passing the same location. Maybe?
Like, they just kept walking past him?
Yeah.
And he just snickers and he's like, "You guys having trouble?"
Yeah, almost like, you know, like a wormhole and it takes you back to the spot.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he seemed to have the answer, so I guess he wouldn't be weirded out by it at all.
No.
He knew the answer. Okay, next one is user Existential Dread 14. Hey, remember Uncomfortable Truths?
Do you mean the guy
who used to...
Yeah, I know. We don't Twitch anymore, though. That's the problem.
We do not Twitch anymore, sadly. Guy. I wonder if he listens. Uncomfortable Truths.
That is the weird thing about not streaming live. We have no idea who these people are.
No. Feel free to say hello or correct
our except that one guy who corrects our grammar, yes.
Yeah.
Which you are appreciated.
Yes. We know we're mispronouncing a great deal of words. I personally know two people who believe they've seen a leprechaun, just as the title states. I personally know two people. Truly believe they've seen leprechauns. These two stories are unfortunately going to be rather long, but I want you to get the full details. I'll post a too long didn't read at the end. Both of these stories take place in Western Pennsylvania, which is not in fact in Ireland. It is in North America. The first story takes place in 1991. My ex-boyfriend's dad was the chief of police of a small town located directly outside of a city. He had several police officers who worked for him, and one was a young rookie cop, whom I will call Mike. The police officers in that jurisdiction often assisted the city police with calls. Mike was going to such a call on a cold day in the beginning of March. He was driving down a road that on either side was a field of tall, dead brown grass. All of a sudden, Mike saw what he thought was an animal coming out of the grass on the left side. He said he saw the next sequence of events in slow motion. He tried to slow his cruiser down. He saw that it was not an animal, but indeed a small, bald, dirty man dressed in ragged clothes, approximately 2 feet tall, running out from the grass. He slammed on the brakes. The cruiser did not stop fast enough, and he hit the small man with the front of his car. The man flew up in the air. Mike jumped out and ran to the front. said he looked right down at the small man, who he then noticed had reddish brown hair. The little man began a screaming evil laugh and hopped up, running into the grass on the right side of the road. Mike ran after him, but all he heard was the sound of his evil mocking laugh. Back to the station,
man.
He was visibly shaken. My ex's father said he was pale white and he could barely choke out the story. When he finished telling them what happened, everyone except my ex's dad began howling with laughter. The other cops teased him relentlessly about the leprechaun story. Since it was about 3 weeks before St. Patrick's Day, one of the cops went to the dollar store and bought a leprechaun hat. Left it on Mike's doorstep with a note stuck in the brim saying, "I'm coming for you, Mikey."
Jeez, these guys are assholes.
The next morning, Mike came in crying and told my ex's father he was quitting the police. My ex's father believed Mike and said he could tell he was extremely sincere in his belief that he did a leprechaun.
That is great.
Sorry, that's hard to read out loud. He told the other cops to leave him alone about it, and Mike worked with him for years to come. I first heard this story from my ex's father. I could tell he really believed Mike had seen what he'd seen. Later that year, Mike was over at my ex's house. I asked Mike about the story. He grew pale and quiet, probably because he was terrified of ridicule. Yeah. And he told me exactly the same story my ex's father had told me earlier. And he always insisted that he hit a leprechaun. This card that day.
And you know the leprechaun just did that to fuck with him too.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine that happening and being like, how the fuck am I going to explain this to anybody?
Oh, I would not tell people about that.
No, I'm surprised Mike did.
I'm wondering if it left like a dent or something where it hit, so he had to explain that. Mess up the car?
No, he would have put it in the story if that's what he had to tell.
Yeah, true. Because I'm not telling that story. Straight up, I'm not. No,
definitely not. At that point, you just denied the damage to your car. You're like, I don't see anything. It's fine.
You go hit a tree with it. At least not have to worry about explaining that story.
No, that's not a story for telling. So... until, you know what, I would tell it, but I would probably save it for, like, the worst possible situation to ever tell that story in. Like,
say, at
my kid's wedding.
One of those big social events that we talk about, that we give you guys conversation ideas for.
Yeah, no, that's the perfect place, but you want to wait until, like, everyone's listening.
Yep. I'd say it very awkwardly at first until everything gets really quiet.
Yeah. That's the perfect place. That's totally
I saw that leprechaun once.
Yeah, everybody where I'm stops. Trying to like I'm sure I have something interesting to add to this party, and then I tell that story. Okay, his second story takes place in 1998. My childhood best friend Susan grew up in one of the most haunted houses I've ever been in my life, which is a story for another day. She lived in an old farmhouse way out in the country that has been... Could you imagine if this is a story of, like, they keep seeing people walking past and they're like, you guys having trouble? It's the farmer's story. She lived in an old farmhouse way out in the country that has been in her family for generations. It's important to understand how her upstairs was set up. You'd go up the staircase to essentially a dead end, with hallways on either side of the staircase. To the right, it was a very large bedroom, which was her parents' room. To the immediate left was her sister's room, then Susan's room, then an open hallway, which led to the bathroom and smaller back bedroom. Susan's bedroom, I can't picture this at all. Susan's bedroom had an open doorway into the hallway that faced the bathroom and small bedroom. This is all nonsense to me. I've always had my abilities. Susan would often tell me of odd things that happened in her house. Also, she said I would often discuss odd things that happened to both of us when I would go over there. One morning, she came into school and told me in a whisper that she had seen a leprechaun in the hallway of her room the night before. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the other stories. I could tell it scared her. I asked her if she'd seen it before, and she said she had. She said she'd heard rustling noises out in the hallway and gotten out of her bed to peek around the corner. In the corner of the hall, she saw a small man, approximately 2 feet, in dirty clothes with red hair. Oh my god!
It's the same guy.
She froze with fear. They're all dirty clothes. We knew it. He's filthy. She froze with fear. Then she said the man disappeared. She said she'd seen him before out of the corner of her eye, moving in the hallway at all hours of the day. I remember her clear as day saying to me that it did not look like the leprechaun on the Lucky Charms box. Being an amateur paranormal investigator, even at 9, I asked her to draw me a picture. I still have the picture somewhere at my parents'. She drew a small man with red hair standing in her hallway. She believed she saw the leprechaun one more time, then she told me she never saw it again. It should be noted, too, that Susan was not a sleeper in her bed the time she thought she saw the leprechaun. She would see it out in the hallway or out of the corner of her eye while she was upstairs. I believe, too, she only saw it over a 6-month period. A lot of strange things happened to her at her house, and I know she believed what she saw. She wasn't just making up stories. Now that I'm older and do paranormal investigation myself, I believe that what Mike and Susan both saw are what we call Tommyknockers. Tommyknockers are leprechaun-like creatures believed by immigrant coal miners to live in the mines and move tools and such things. This being Western Pennsylvania, each location where the leprechaun was seen was above or near a coal mine. They are often described as dirty, scraggly, sharp-featured looking little men with reddish hair. I cannot express how sincere both of them were to me when telling me their stories. Interesting, never heard. I thought Tommyknockers were something else.
Yeah, gonna say I've never heard of it actually. So that's interesting.
Yeah, well, let's add it to the list and we'll find out what it is. One more for the road. User Blue Silk Tree. I haven't shared this story with many people as skeptics are quick to write off experience.
Sorry, Chelsea, just before we move on from that, I do find it interesting that it was in a haunted house. So it's known for other paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And that.
Pretty interesting. And the other thing that I liked about that one was that, or noticed, that she saw it from the corner of its eye. Is like a very paranormal feature of it. And I believe a lot of time elves and nature spirits and stuff like that, that's where you see them a lot, is the corner of your eye.
It reminds me of a book I read a long time ago called John Dies at the End. And that was normal people seeing paranormal.
Why'd you fucking ruin it?
This is not ruining it at all. But one of the tests for like figuring out whether or not somebody was open to paranormal is he would like start describing a situation to them and then they'd see something in a box if they weren't looking at it in the corner of their eye. Yeah, just like, interesting.
Hey, isn't that What's-His-Face's book?
David Wong.
That's always on.
Yeah, he's on. He's been on Behind the Bastards a couple times.
A couple times.
He's the one who recommended they do that.
I do like
that
him.
Mine that everybody got. Oh, I forget what it's called, but their lungs bled to death. It was like
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely. I haven't shared. Oh yeah, around 7 years ago, when I was staying at my dad's house, I woke up in the middle of the night to see what I now believe was a leprechaun. I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but this experience was so creepy, it still gives me the chills to this day. I grew up in my dad's house and always felt like home. It doesn't have any creepy vibes or a history of paranormal activity. It's just a normal house. I was sleeping in my bedroom and I woke up facing the left side of my room. In the space about 1.5 meters in front of me, I saw this small man, maybe 3 feet tall, dancing in a circle. Since I'd just woken up, my eyes weren't fully adjusted, so I could only make out the outline of this thing and couldn't see any facial features. I hope this makes sense, but it wasn't a shadowy being. It was a solid mass, as real as a person standing in the room. He was wearing a top hat and the dancing was really strange, and it was hard to describe. The only way I can think of explaining it is that he was hunched over doing an exaggerated tiptoeing motion. Anyway, I'm watching it dance for around 10 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but it was enough time for me to properly wake up and wonder what on earth I was looking at. I was shocked and frozen, thinking this can't be real. After watching it dance in this short space of time, it suddenly stopped dead in its tracks, seemed to turn around towards me, and begins coming at me with speed. I screamed and flipped to the other side of the bed to turn the light on. When I looked back to the side of the room where it had been, it was gone. Needless to say, I kept the light on and didn't go to sleep again until it was light outside and my dad was awake. For a long time, I explained this apparition as a creepy small man dancing around my room in a top hat. It wasn't until I told my boyfriend about it years later, he said it sounded like a leprechaun, that it clicked. What do you think it might have been?
Can you imagine that, though? Like, these things have, like, they turn on a dime. Just having a good dance, and then just comes right at you.
You know, I think this is top experience stories for any episode, other than the one for the skinwalker of that grandpa that saw the inside out.
Oh, yeah. Just the emotional manipulation of leprechauns is top level. It is top level.
It really is. It really is. It is something else. And I have quite enjoyed these stories. And I have to say, there you have it. It's a fascinating history and evolution and sighting of leprechauns from their ancient roots to their modern day dancing sightings.
And I especially like that there are sightings outside of Ireland, which means that either A, these things have traveled or can travel between continents, or they've existed here this whole time in North America.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know that really anything would bound them to Ireland.
No, but like,
unless of course it was a magical island, and then in terms of that I could see them never being able to leave it. But it's very rare that these things often are just bound to one specific region.
No, but at the same time, the entire history of it is up until like the 1800s, 1900s Irish sightings and Irish stories.
Yeah, we could be thinking that it's something else though until we actually...
Yeah, it could just be the cultural interpretation of that area.
Then what would it be?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've heard of any sightings of like that prior to a leprechaun. Gnomes,
and goblins,
yeah.
And things like that.
Fairies, yeah. Yeah, a little...
But
these guys are so well-dressed.
So well-dressed and like distinctly red hair from Ireland.
Yeah.
So I don't... Yeah.
Which is weird. They look Irish.
They look Irish. They also apparently look like they could be a crackhead sometimes. And
also, little known fact, are jockeys.
Yeah.
Jockey sighting.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that. We had so many of those in our childhood, Chelsea.
Yes. We were just surrounded by leprechauns. Which sounds like a weird sentence to say, that we were that ingrained around jockeys, but we were. It wasn't weird. It was a little weird. That's the episode.
Okay.
Don't think about it too much.
You get lore when we give it, and that is it.
Yeah. That's all you get.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.